Thank you very much, Renate. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. This is the Cross-Community Working Group on Internet Governance Conference Call on Tuesday, the 3rd of, sorry, is it the 3rd? It's the 4th here, but it is the 3rd of June 2015. And today we have quite an interesting agenda with some of the work that we've done recently, but also primarily focusing on the Buenos Aires public Internet governance session and also the face-to-face session. Is there any other business to add to the agenda?
Olivier, yes, from Marilyn, she sent an email just a little while ago.
I have it here, and she would like to add the deliberative polling proposal at IGF 2016 and whether ICANN is in any way engaged, including as far as funding or promoting that proposal. So we'll be discussing this under any other business. And is there any other business to add? Seeing no one put their hand up, let's have the agenda as agreed, and let's start the roll call, please, Renate.
Okay, we have Carlos Raul Gutierrez, Peter Dengate-Trush, Judith Hellerstein, Sam Lanfranco, Lynn Saint-Amour, Mary Uduma, Marilyn Cade, Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, and Young Lee. We have from staff Nigel Hickson and myself, Renate DeWolf.
Thanks very much, Renate. Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking. Have we missed anyone in the roll call? Okay, the roll call is complete, and we'll move straight to the action items. And there is an open action item that relates to later in our discussion, and that's an action item from our call on the 12th of May for staff to produce a background paper regarding the road ahead. The topic would be WSIS plus 10 as well as CSTD, and why are these external events important for ICANN and for the ICANN community. For this, I'll turn over to Nigel Hickson, who I believe is in charge of this action item. Nigel? And you might be muted, Nigel.
Nigel, I've unmuted you.
Okay, sounds like one of these calls.
Oh, cut off producing a background paper as described and as asked for.
Right, so
Nigel, we missed
the beginning of your. Yeah, we missed the beginning of your sentence. So we
hello. Yes, that's on. Yeah, yes, I'm sorry, but I got cut off or I didn't hear everything.
Yes, Nigel, please can you repeat whatever you said?
Yes, sorry. Good evening. Just to note that I understand the action that's been placed on us. We are in the process of producing a background paper. And would hope to be able to circulate it early next week. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much for this, Nigel. It's Olivier speaking, and you might wish to try and get a dial out or something because I think your voice does cut out a little bit just in order to avoid future problems during the call. Let's go to agenda item number 2. And, oh, that's again back to Nigel Hickson for quick feedback on the IGF workshop on IANA transition process. There are some news about this.
Nigel, I know you're trying
yes,
to...
Yes, yes, thank you, Olivier. Nigel Hickson, I hope you can... Well, I yes. God, dear, what a life. You know, I can only, I can do. I could have a dial out, of course. Let me carry on. So essentially, the in terms of the IGF workshop, as I think we noted on the call, on the previous call, the proposal that was put in by the CCWG for the multi-stakeholder internet governance IANA stewardship was selected. It was in the first sort of 50 of the workshop proposals selected by the MAG. We got confirmation of this on the on Tuesday this week by the IGF Secretariat, and so so we know that we've got a proposal in. But any changes to the agenda on the what we put in have to be flagged up by July the 1st. So perhaps we need to consider before the July the 1st if we want to how we want to amend or to put speakers down, etc. Thank you.
Thanks very much for this, Nigel. Olivier Crapin-Leblanc speaking. And so we have until July the 1st to change some of our speaker list if we wish to do so. As far as the contents of the workshop is concerned, I know that we're going to be dealing with this shortly because we had a bit of a test run last week, at the end of last week, and that worked quite well. So I'm not sure if we want to change the actual topic or make any amendments on that. Certainly we can make some amendments depending on lessons learned. I don't think that we've heard anything back from the people that are listed currently in the workshop as whether they wish to be taken off that workshop. So far, it looks like we've only had positive responses, but what we might wish to do is to actually perhaps suggest to those people that the people who were included in the workshop we did last week, for example, having been through this test run, could be the speakers at the IGF workshop as well. I don't know how others think about this, whether anybody else has followed this in any way. But the floor is open for comments or questions.
Olivier, Peter Dengue Frasch here. Can I make a comment?
Yes, please. Go ahead, Peter. You have the floor.
Well, just the obvious one, that the IGF is a long way away in terms of what's going to have happened on IANA transition between now or even between the 1st of July and then. So my suggestion would be to try and keep the description and even the personnel as placeholders and then have a serious look at this around the time of the Dublin meeting to make sure and do the tightening up on it at that stage. I'm not sure we can do much at this distance out. Thanks.
Thanks very much for this. Peter, it's Olivier speaking. Nigel, until when do we have to make any amendments? You mentioned July the 1st. Is past July the 1st then completely frozen at that point?
Thank you, Olivier. Nigel Hickson. Well, no, I understand what Peter's saying as well, which is, of course, very sensible indeed. I think all, and I will check up on this with the people as they're in Geneva. What the email tells us is that in terms of what goes on the website, I assume for the IGF is going to go live, and when the website goes live, there will be information about the session, and that information will be the information that we supply by July the 1st. But of course, I mean, it doesn't stop us changing it in the future, I wouldn't have thought. I mean, I can't see that they would not allow us to provide information, allowing them to update the website in due course. But I'll clarify that. But so I think it's probably a two-stage process that we might want to look at it to tighten up any details, perhaps, by July the 1st, and then of course we can change it depending on circumstances, as Peter said. Thank you.
Thanks very much for this, Nigel. Olivier speaking, and There was a question which Tarek had asked me in when we met in Geneva, and he said, what happens if the transition doesn't take place and the whole process collapses? And obviously at that point, I think that the workshop would just not take place as such, or perhaps take an entirely different form. But I believe we have to think that this is going to work and that the process is moving forward. And at the moment, it all looks as though it's going on course. So in Centamore, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. I mean, I think we can't do anything but hold the course, and I don't believe the process will fall apart. It may require more time, but I think the intent of the workshop is still useful. It's focusing not on the transition per se, but on the multi-state community processes. So I think there's a lot of learning there, irrespective of what happens ultimately to the transition. But I was going to put my hand up initially to say that I think it would be helpful to hear how the panel went last week at WISIS, and then from there determine whether or not we need to change or tighten up the abstract or the definition. So maybe we could move to that and then revisit this particular item after.
Thanks very much for this, Lynn. It's Olivia speaking. That's a good point. So let's join agenda item 3 with agenda item 2, since these two are closely linked. Agenda item 3 is a review of the WISIS Forum workshop. That took place on Friday afternoon, and my feedback on this, the way that it happened, on for those people that weren't here, so we had Pablo Hinonosa, who chaired the workshop, and there were three people from the primary operational communities. So I was dealing with a names proposal. Chris Buckridge dealt with the CRISP proposal, and Elliot Lear from the ITF dealt with the protocols proposal. And we went through a PowerPoint presentation. It wasn't PowerPoint. It was just a set of slides which was just showing the process. Very full room indeed. We had in excess of 100 people. Proposal. We had about 90 minutes. It took us roughly 50 minutes or so to go through the presentation, maybe a little bit less, but we had a few technical problems at the beginning. And then there was, I would say, a pretty good discussion with the floor, several questions being asked, questions about the multi-stakeholder process, whether that was working, whether the process itself was open enough for everyone to be able to participate, but it certainly appeared to have gotten a lot of people in the room to finally understand how the whole process has worked in all of the different communities, and also how this fitted with the accountability process that's running in parallel with the CWGINA. Apart from that, I would say, I'd say it was a workshop that was very well received. There was one thing that we did, and that appeared to have been very helpful as well, which was to print some a one-page glossary that was available to participants for them to look at the different acronyms that are being used. It's a process that is full of acronyms. And as a result, the feedback I've personally received has been very positive. I don't know if any of my colleagues who were there have any other points of view on this. I'll give them the floor, and then I'll give the floor to Peter afterwards. I don't even know. Maybe Peter, have you perhaps followed the workshop remotely? I know there were some problems with remote participation, which was a bit of a problem there, which hopefully we won't have at IGF.
Yes, thanks, Olivia. Peter here. Yes, I did follow. My apologies to everybody. I had a problem that didn't get there, but that didn't seem to hold up anybody, which was good. I thought everybody performed reasonably well. What it highlighted, I think, was actually how complicated this is to outsiders. And I think that's a takeaway for future sessions. We who are living with this, and some of us have been living with it for a very long time, most of us on this call have been doing it for many years, So we tend to forget. It's not just the acronyms, which is a good point you made, Olivier. And so I think a couple of things. One is as many pictures as possible in the presentations is helpful, and then as many things to distribute beforehand and have people to take away afterwards will make it good, make it easier for people to follow. I think you've got to work out in advance as part of that what you're trying to do. Are you trying? For a lot of people, it's just simply informing them. And for them, it's too hard to then ask them to start making sensible contributions to the debate. So I think we have to be clear whether it's an information session or a policy debate session when we're having one of these things. And I think just I'll close by saying I thought that the attack that we expected from the ITU, which came in the person of Mr. Hill's questions, I think in the end the questions were relatively weak, and they were very well handled by the panelists. Overall, I thought it was a very good session. Well done.
Thanks very much for this, Peter. Next is Yung-Um Lee.
Thank you, Olivier. I was just trying to unmute myself. I think it's very encouraging that you have the impression of the session was that people were able to get a better sense of what was going on. But actually, my major question was partially answered by Peter when he mentioned Richard the Hill question, and I'm just wondering what his question was, and if there was anyone else that wanted to take issue with what was going on. What those questions were. Thanks.
Yes, thanks very much, Yung-Um. It's Olivier King. And my recollection, which is faint because so much has happened since, although it was only a few days ago, was that Mr. Hill asked specifically about the openness of the process and the ability of people to be able to take part in this. I might resort to other colleagues who were there at the time to perhaps give a fuller picture. I must say my mind is a little blurry on this already, would you believe it?
Olivia, Nigel here, if I may, I think you're absolutely right, but also his point was that that his views, his personal views, Richard Hill's views, had not been fully taken into account in the actual proposal of the naming community, and that was rebutted by Mr. Areste from Iran, who said that any views that had sort of support from more than just one person were taken on board and were considered seriously. So that was the sort of that was the response. Thank you.
Thanks very much for this, Nigel. Olivia speaking. Indeed, perhaps one of the things that we do have to put across is that the proposal that is now on the table is the result of a consensus process, which might not be directly what individual members of the working group or indeed individual members or organizations that commented in the process wanted to see. But that's the nature of consensus, being able to find something that will take into account the point of view of that were expressed and finding a middle-of-the-road solution that will satisfy the great majority of people. And, of course, undeniably at that point, you will have some points of view that will, I guess, not be reflected in the final proposal. I certainly can see a number of points in the final proposal which neither I nor the ALAC or the ALAC working group that works on these issues are particularly happy about, but we can live with them. We're just not objecting to those points. And perhaps that's one way of answering and providing information on this. Yung-Um Lee, your hand is still up, so you have the floor. You put your hand down, okay? So thanks for these points, Peter. That's very helpful. I gather I know that Marilyn Kate is on the call. I'm sorry to sort of be appealing to you, but you were in the room as well at the time, and I wondered what you thought could be done to make things better or help with the way things were done at the time. The way, for those people who weren't in the room or did not follow the program, so we first had the three operational committees that explained the process, and then we had different angles and points of view that were expressed by various members of the committee that were also on stage, which included Marilyn and also Bill Drake and others, and including also having Marcus Kummer, a member of the ICANN board. So they all expressed different points of view with regards to the process and how things went. I initially thought that we were going to be asked questions about the actual substance of the proposal itself, but it looked as though the audience was quite understanding in the fact that this is an ongoing process and we were solely looking at the process itself rather than the proposal itself. Any other comments on this?
Marilyn.
I mean, yeah, go ahead, Marilyn Kate.
Thanks. I want us to think for a few minutes about a change that I would propose for the IGF itself, taking into account that there will be an even larger number of people who are non-expert in not just the terminology, but also the process. And I think the overview that was done, and Olivier, I really want to compliment you for the organizing and also the work that you and others put into making sure that there was a very robust and simplified set of materials that people could look at and come around to asking questions. But I think coming into the IGF, we will need to, when we get closer to it, have a good understanding of who's going to be attending this session. And hopefully it won't be those of us who are insiders, but people from the broader Internet governance community who are attending and will therefore really benefit from the overviews that were done. Even though they're time-consuming, I think they're very important to make sure that people have a good understanding, and things may have changed a little bit by then. One change that I might make is to put the respondents, people like myself and Bill and others who are from the stakeholders, down in the front row, where so it doesn't look like there's so many panelists, and yet still allow us to respond or someone to take our place can respond. I'm happy to be replaced. And I think that also may make it appear from the launch of that segment much more interactive by having the microphones and the respondents down in the front row and then moving into the audience. I do expect a lot more questions at the IGF than what we got at the WISIS forum.
Thanks for this, Marilyn. Olivier speaking. And let me ask a question then. I was a little concerned about the fact that the presentation did take so much time. And so we actually ran out of time as far as the questions were concerned at the end. I noticed several people that had still put their hand up, and we weren't able to take their questions. Should we try and crunch the presentation a little bit more than what it currently is?
Well, I think it will be simplified by then, right? I mean, I assume we will have made more progress in certain areas. And things like the elaborate timeline and other things, I think, would automatically be simplified.
So we might lose a couple of slides, I guess, especially the road ahead might actually be a smaller road ahead than what we've got at the moment.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. Coming back to the question that was asked earlier, is this workshop meant to be just an informational workshop, or are we looking at really gathering views of the community and getting a discussion going on this? I thought that was an interesting question. Anybody? At the moment, my feeling is that it's more of an informational workshop, and I guess the audience is there asking questions. There were some points of view that were expressed, and these were the usual points of view, which actually you can also sometimes see in the comments that were made by specific countries and some people that don't believe the process is open enough. But the overall, it looks a lot more like an information session than a question where we're debating a topic and trying to find a solution to the problem at hand.
Olivier,
just checking with everyone if there's any other point of view. Marilyn, Kate.
Yep, thanks. Marilyn speaking. We're not trying to shift decision-making outside of the ICANN process. The ICANN process is open and inclusive. We may be inviting more people into the ICANN process, which I think is the point that we were trying to make. But I think, I don't see this as an additional form of a public comment. I see it as an additional way to encourage people to participate in the public comment processes that we establish at ICANN.
Thanks for this, Marilyn. It's Olivia speaking. And I gather that by November, there will still be a chance to be involved in the accountability process, since there's, if I recall just from memory, the diagram that was showing the future process as far as accountability is concerned, there would be several further comment periods, especially when it comes down to implementation. That hopefully would help with more people getting involved. And I'm not quite sure whether there have been more comments received as a result of our workshop on Friday. The public comment for the accountability is still open, I believe, until a few hours from now. So we might have... I'm not even sure. I don't think we need to sort of check on this, but... Certainly, the workshop would change. I see a note from Lynn Centimore in the chat. With a proposal submitted, obviously, there would be changes to the workshop itself, since we would be speaking more about the past rather than the future. But there's still going to be a significant amount of follow-up on that, and perhaps we might be able to reflect on any of the additional discussions that will have taken place until then. So the presentation itself is obviously not cast in stone. I hear someone.
It was Lynn Olivier. I'm not sure it needs to change that much. I mean, the intent of this workshop, as I understood it, was really to explain multi-stakeholder processes, the roles of the various organizations, and that's not going to change substantially. If anything, I think this whole process is probably bringing to light the roles of all the organizations involved in IANA functions, policy oversight and administration, but I mean, I hope we're not thinking that there'd be some significant change once the proposal is submitted. If so, I think then we lose an opportunity to explain to people why this was an appropriate process, about the role of the communities, the strength of the communities, et cetera, which is something I think, frankly, isn't made of.
Thanks for this, Lynn. It's Olivia speaking. I think that it's just the diagrams, of course, looking at today being early June, and then we will be in November. It probably would be better to put the diagrams as being today being November rather than early June. So that was the gist of the what I meant by having to amend the presentation slightly. But certainly the contents of the presentation, I think, would probably have to remain the same. Okay, I see no further questions on this. Just to let you know, there is going to be another test run of this presentation that will take place on this Friday at the Eurodig in Sofia, Bulgaria, where I think, in fact, all of the three operational committees will be there. So the same people, so it's myself and Chris Buckridge and Elliot Lear, will all be here to speak about the process. And then there will be other community members that will be commenting on the process itself. Hopefully it will be a different audience. So it will be interesting to see the reaction we have from a purely European audience that might actually know a lot less about the stewardship transition. And I will report back to you in our next call to let you know how it went. And let's move on now to the next item in our agenda. That's the preparation of the Buenos Aires public session public session and also the face-to-face session of our working group. In our last call, we had a number of discussions about first the public session. Bill Drake took the floor, and in the absence of Peter Dengate-Thrush being there, he brought his point of view about what he thought would be discussed at the time. The idea is to start with the paper, the staff drafted paper, go through it very quickly and pick things up from there. I know that Peter Dengate-Thrush is on the call this time, and as we said, both Peter and Bill would be the people in charge of this session. And so I hand the floor over to Peter for his feedback and his point of view and thoughts on the public session in Buenos Aires. Peter, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. Peter here. Really, just to apologize, Bill and I had arranged to meet in Geneva last week when when we were going to be together, and we haven't yet caught up. I realize that the time's running for the VA meeting, but we haven't yet. I thought we had quite a good discussion, though, about the way we... the way everybody wanted this session to run. So I'm not sure whether I've got much to add to that. Happy to take any directions from people if there's been any changes of mind or people want to confirm or strengthen any particular position. Thanks. Oh, just to finish, Bill and I will try and talk either late this week or early next week to make sure that we're on track.
Okay, that's great. That's a good thing. Thank you. It's Olivia speaking. So just to remind you all, Bill Drake last week spoke to us and suggested that we'd have a few minutes to start the conversation about the paper that Nigel Hickson will have put online, about 15 minutes or so to build up an interactive conversation, starting with the WSIS plus 10, and then obviously speaking about, in that respect, about the CSTD, what we imagine would be the discussions taking place in New York. I think Bill mentioned about 30 minutes on that. And after that, if there is still time, and hopefully there would be, we could also spend a few minutes on the Net Mundial initiative, a few minutes on the meeting that was held in The Hague a month ago, and also a few minutes on UNESCO and other discussions there. But I gather that, Peter, you'll be able to work with Bill Drake the exact timings and so on of this agenda. One concern, or not a concern, but a question, was the identification of speakers. And we haven't so far put this one and cast this one in stone, and I wonder whether you had any thoughts on that.
No thought. Peter here, no particular thoughts. There are obviously people who know a lot about this. Many of them are on this call. How would the group like to handle that? Do you want us to reach out to people? Do you want people to ask for volunteers and cull that? Or do you want us to shoulder tap some people and they're appointed? All good mechanisms in their own way. I'm happy to work with whatever people want.
Okay. Thanks for this, Peter. It's Olivier speaking. And actually, I just realized now that there was also talk of Lynn being part of this, as far as leading this, especially with regards to presentation. I'm a little confused, I'm afraid, because the discussions last week didn't touch onto that. I guess I can ask here, since we have several, as you said, several people who would be good speakers in that respect. Marilyn, Lynn, others, are there any volunteers to be on that panel?
Well, actually, I'd like to ask a question about when we go through the list of events that we need to cover, we're going to have the background paper that Nigel and others are working, the staff are working on, right?
That's correct, Marilyn, yes.
So are we trying to treat this as a helping people get on the current page in terms of what's going on, in which case I think we would want to spend more time on the WISIS Plus 10 agenda and events, at least at an overview level. We know who the co-facilitators are. We're not going to know a whole lot more, but we'll know a little bit more, and we'll know even more by Lisbon. But, you know, I think, are we asking people to give short briefs to duplicate what the paper is doing, or just to be a subject matter expert to the field questions?
Yeah, thanks for this, Marilyn.
Olivier,
Peter
here
speaking. Over to Peter, yes.
Olivier, so I just wanted to agree that Marilyn's question needed answering, and to add to that, again, if we could be a little bit more precise about what we're trying to achieve. Again, is it an information session, in which case we can pump some material and have skillful people explaining things, including the processes that have been followed to date, and give people a lot of up-to-date information? Or are we asking for people to participate? Or is this a call to arms? Are we actually asking people to get on a, you know, storm a barricade somewhere, or a combination of all of those? Because that will make a difference to, obviously, everything that we do, including who we ask to do it. I think there's a tendency to treat all these things as informational, in which case people can get it just by, you know, logging in and picking up the paperwork. If we want, I would prefer, and I think we agreed on this last time, to try and make it somehow more interactive, getting people to contribute. But I think if we just have a bit of discussion about the right balance between those three or four other objectives. Obviously, I think you've got to cover basic information and tell people where it's going, and we have to be realistic about the size of any barricade we ask people to storm. But just a talk and talk teaching session is probably not going to be the most interesting thing we could do. Thanks.
And I will just,
Peter.
Can I just respond to a comment Peter made?
You have the floor, Marilyn.
I think, in fact, storming barricades is not a good call to action for the meeting, but being aware of how they can participate and why they should participate or comment in activities outside of ICANN. That's why that paper that Nigel is working on, to me, is, you know, perhaps after we see the paper, under each section might be a proposed action or how to comment or how to participate, and then use the session to elaborate on how people can get more involved. The WISIS Plus 10 process, for instance, we don't even know if it's going to have a public comment period. If it did, it would be good to encourage people to contribute to that public comment process. But we don't at this point know if there will be an online open public comment process.
Okay, thanks for this, Marilyn. Olivier speaking. And I sense that with the audience that we are going to have, which is a sort of wider ICANN audience, certainly a significant part of the session should be informational so as to bring people, make people aware of what's coming up. With regards to a discussion, I certainly have concerns that if we have an unaware audience, we risk wasting much time in discussing some points which might not be particularly relevant to the topic itself, but that, of course, will really depend on the skillfulness of our moderators in the discussion. I certainly do like the idea. I wouldn't call it call to arms, but certainly having perhaps more people in ICANN interested in these topics. And I refer here to what Lynn is saying in the chat. Why are these external events important for ICANN and the ICANN community? And that's an important point. With regards to what Peter has put in the chat, preparing a resolution or a declaration that would be the ICANN position on this going into the UNGA, there was discussion last week, and I think that we reached some kind of agreement. I wouldn't call it consensus because there weren't many people on the call, but an agreement that it would be an interesting thing to look at the submission that we made to Net Mundial and actually perhaps tailor that submission for the UNGA. And the reason for looking at the submission for Net Mundial is that it was quite a middle-of-the-road, lowest common denominator between the different SOs, ACs, and the communities that make up the ICANN community. That set a certain set of principles, which I think would fall in line with any inputs, any official input that ICANN or the ISTAR communities, because let's also know the ISTAR communities are involved in this. ICANN and the ISTAR communities would also be sending into the process. So we wouldn't be singing a different tune than the tune that's currently being said. And because we have already agreed to the Net Mundial statement, it looks as though this is an easy pick as such, and something perhaps to propose to the community then. Any thoughts on this? I know Peter says it's a good precedent to apply in this case. Marilyn, I know there was pushback from you on the issuing of a statement, and I can understand on a process question, of course, if this cross-community working group is going to draft input for external processes, one needs to have the approval of the SOs, ACs, and SGs. And the reason for looking at the Net Mundial statement is that this has already gone through extensive feedback and has been presented at an international conference. Any feedback on this? Peter, does this sound like perhaps something that can be presented to the community as well at that point? I know that's a lot of presenting, presenting first the issues and then presenting a potential statement or at least alerting the audience of a previous statement that was done. That might then give us the green light for our face-to-face session to work on the statement and start working on a developing such a position.
Yes, it's Peter here. Thanks for the question. I'm not sure what the answer is. It touches on some fundamental political issues inside up to how processes work and who speaks, and particularly who speaks internationally. We don't really have a process at the moment for the work of this working group to go through channels, it seems to me. I wasn't part of the Net Mundial process, but that's something that we should be looking at. Normally what you'd expect to happen is a working group like this, including once it's got the support of the ACs and the SOs that have members on the working group, in terms of a charter, that should then go through a process, and I might be old-fashioned, but
best way to then take that is to put it through a board resolution. So this becomes the community feeding up through the bottom-up process to the board, and then the board adopting and saying, here's the ICANN position. And the reason why I think we could do that in this case is because these positions are so well established. It's the sort of position that ICANN's been adopting since 2005, 6, and 7 and onwards. So it's not likely to be challenging. So I'm not sure if that's the answer to your particular question, Olivier, but what it would take in this case is that material would have to go out before the meeting so that people had some time to prepare and came to the meeting, you know, in an organized sort of way. And I think what we were talking about last time was actually using the face-to-face session, or I suggested using the face-to-face session as a way of actually retrieving comments. Do the first session first, get some comments, and then use the second session to polish it up, as well as the other things we need to do at that session. Is that what you were asking, Olivia?
Thanks for this, Peter. I think you're right on the dot, absolutely. That sounds quite right. The only question is with regards to the ICANN process. I note that ICANN itself will be sending in a statement. I wondered if Nigel Hickson could share what they were going to do. I understand it's an ISTAR. It would be an ISTAR statement. Nigel?
Yeah, thank you, Olivier, Nigel Hickson. Well, I mean, I think we have to go back to where we started a few minutes ago in that we have now got news on the appointment of the co-facilitators, so at least we know that. They are the permanent representative from Latvia and the permanent representative of the UAE at the UN in New York. And they're going to be starting their job, and the first intergovernmental meeting is on Wednesday and Thursday of next week in New York. What we don't know, as I mentioned earlier, of course, is what sort of public consultation there is going to be and what sort of call for comments there might be. So although, of course, we can always make, or anyone, I suppose, can make a public statement of what they want a certain process to achieve, we don't know whether there's going to be a formal call for input. So all we have done so far, we haven't, obviously... When I say we haven't written anything, I've written tons of stuff in terms of speeches that Fadi has made and other people have made on the WSIS process. I mean, it's been going on for 2 years, but we haven't made a formal statement as such. And we are having these discussions in the ISTAR community. There's a group being set up that's chaired by ISOC, and we had a call last night discuss overall strategy, and we've agreed that we would need to sort of codify that in some form of statement at some point. So I can certainly share that as we develop it. But whether that's going to be, a formal input statement to the UN, I just don't know yet. Thank you.
Thanks, Nigel. It's Olivier speaking. Do you have a timeline for this?
Well, yes. I mean, I think we're working towards having a sort of ISTAR position in the next in the next month or something, with perhaps an expectation that certainly either just before the summer or after the summer, we might, you know, there might be a call for comments or something like that, but we don't know. So, I mean, certainly, I take Peter's point that, you know, what sort of process should we have here? I mean, we're always informed by discussion. So if there's going to be in the discussion in Buenos Aires, in the public session, we will hear, hopefully, we'll get feedback on WSIS from the community, and therefore that will inform our contribution to the ISTAR, to the ISTAR work. So it's a continuous process, I suppose. But, you know, we're obviously in your hands.
Thanks for this, Nigel. Next is Marilyn Cade.
Thanks.
So Marilyn Cape speaking. Let me provide a little bit of information for us to all consider. First of all, at the recent NAG meeting, the Internet Governance Forum NAG meeting, I made a proposal which was a repeat of a proposal made at the last NAG meeting, and it's at least on the table, that we are inviting the co-facilitators or someone from the PGA's office to the IGF in Brazil. Brazil itself is positive about that idea, and that if that were to happen, that would bring a public consultation outside of New York into the IGF. So the question of how the co-facilitators will arrange stakeholder consultation, as Nigel said, is very unclear. Latvia has submitted to be very open. It was something of a surprise that the UAE was chosen. The expectation was that it would be Tunisia. UAE is very strongly trying to position itself in these areas, but it was a surprise. The PGA changes in September from Uganda to Denmark, and the incoming president, the incoming country, has indicated that they intend to also try to be very open for consultation. I say all that to say there's a lot we don't know yet. I think we would need to ask ourselves, if we're speaking for the ICANN community in a cross-community working group, what are the messages that we want to give, and it's suitable for us as an ICANN community to give, about the WSIS plus 10 process? Are we just going to opine on ICANN's role? Are we going to try to take on some of the larger issues that are under discussion and consideration on WSIS plus 10? I'm certainly happy to have us do some of that, but I think that means people really have to dig in and understand what the review is about. And I say that in relation to whatever ICANN and the ISTARS would say as well, that if we're going, if a statement's going to be made, it needs to be made in taking into account the larger context of what the WSIS plus 10 review is, how ICANN fits into it, but also what the larger challenges are for the next 15 years. So we could certainly lay some of that out as a discussion in the meeting and begin the dialogue, look back at the statement that we made to go into Net Mundial and see if it actually has any credibility or life in it that is relevant to WSIS plus 10. I'm not going to, until I look at it further, I'm not going to project that it does or doesn't. But that would mean we need to treat this as a real working session, not just as a briefing session.
Thanks for this, Marilyn. Can you hear me? I'm using Adobe Connect as an emergency at the moment. I don't know whether that works.
Yes, fine.
Okay, excellent. As they're calling me at the same time. Okay, and I'm back on Adobe Connect. Sorry about this. Good point, Marilyn, and I was going to suggest that the public session would be effectively a more of an informational thing and setting the questions for the audience, and then to transform our face-to-face session into the time when we actually start working on this and collect the feedback. The reason for it being I'm a little... Am I still on?
Yes, Olivier, we can hear you.
Ah, Okay, I just saw lost you now. So, okay. The reason for it being, I'm a bit, I really wonder whether people will be at the time able to give us feedback there and then on the spot. And I know that it was suggested that we circulate things in advance, but given the limited amount of time and the time that will take for Nigel and his colleagues to actually draft the background paper, and then if we needed to draft something else on top of that and perhaps amend the Net Mundial statement to reflect the issues in WISIS plus 10, it just doesn't seem feasible, bearing in mind we've only got a few weeks left before Buenos Aires. So the face-to-face meeting, and I see from Marilyn mentioning in the chat, yeah, the face-to-face meeting would be beginning the work on this. So we'd have the public session alerting everyone, getting the ball rolling, then the face-to-face working group session to perhaps draw in from those people that will join in to start providing feedback with having on the table our next Net Mundial input, but also, of course, we certainly need to be finding out, and I hope that maybe we would have board members coming to the meeting or even the board chair, or I'm just throwing things at the moment, but, you know, possible things, to find a process by which there could be a comment from the ICANN community. Looking at the starting material, the Net Mundial material, the stuff that we sent to Net Mundial, I just cannot see this statement being drastically different than the points that would be made by the ISTAR community, although I'm convinced that it might well be that our Net Mundial statement is very generic in its form, and the ISTAR community statement would be a lot more pointed or focused on specific issues of WISIS plus 10. I know Peter Dengethras has his hand up. Peter, you have the floor.
Yes, thank you. Peter here. I wanted to agree with Marilyn and just perhaps add to the sense of time. Going back to the high level, what I think we're trying to do here is prepare, make sure there's community support and awareness for an ICANN position going into a United Nations vote later in the year. There is going to be an ICANN position. There is an ICANN position, but it may not be very well understood, and it's not clear that it's got community support, although I personally think it probably does. So what we're trying to do is tie up and support our external warriors when they go into statements and have statements that can stand up to the multi-stakeholder process. So that's what we're trying to achieve, I think, is the ICANN supporting and helping create an ICANN position to go into those debates. And we've got quite a lot of precedent in terms of Net Mundial, and we've got a whole lot of existing ICANN position on these topics, so it's not a very difficult one. It's much more about making sure we follow a reasonable process. And the extra bit is that we've also got the Dublin meeting, which may very well be the sensible time to sort of tie up this. So we start this process in Buenos Aires. We have the forum. We send, give people the information, tell them what's going on, tell them that we are crafting a declaration or a statement or along the lines of Net Mundial, and look to Dublin being the meeting where we finalize that. That would mean we do less of a rush. We give people much more warning. And we can work, and it doesn't hold up staff or Vardy or anyone else from making statements that they're already doing. Thanks.
Thanks, Peter. It's Olivier speaking. And when you mean an ICANN position, do you mean an ICANN community position, or would that be the position that would be transmitted by staff?
I don't understand the question. There should only be one ICANN position, not a multiplicity of them.
Right. At the moment, the ICANN position is the ISTAR position. So ICANN staff are working with the ISTAR organizations, and a common ISTAR statement will be drafted. What we're looking at is whether we should have a separate ICANN community position,
I'm not sure whether we would be in the position to feed into the ISTAR position, and that might be something we need to discuss. But I sense that there would be an ICANN community position and an ISTAR position. At the moment, obviously, we don't know which ones what the position is. But the way that I saw it so far is there would be two positions, one through ISTAR, one from the ICANN community. And Nigel, feel free to jump into this if I'm completely wrong and I'm making an absolute dog's breakfast of this at the moment.
Nigel Hickson, well, I'm not really, if you're not making a dog's breakfast, and it's later for you than it is for me, I'm only in Brussels. I think essentially, as Peter said, one needs to try and avoid, you know, separate positions. I don't think there's going to be any, you know, significant divergence between positions. I mean, you know, as an example, in the ISAR call, we're talking about things like having the objective that the discussion at the WSIS UNGA should be primarily one of development, one of linking the WSIS process to the Sustainable Development Goals, in continuing the WSIS Forum as a multi-stakeholder vehicle in terms of analysing progress on action lines, etc. These are fairly sort of high-level objectives, which I think, you know, a number of organisations would share, and which were outlined at the WSIS Forum last week by a number of speakers. But I'll stop there. Thank you.
Thanks, Nigel. Peter Dengetrush, you have the floor.
Yes, thank you, Nigel. I agree. I think that the point I'm making is that it's difficult for staff at the moment to point to a ICANN community process which develops and supports what you're taking into the ISTAR position. And if we think back to the Montevideo ISTAR position, there was some surprise by members of the ICANN community at some aspect of that statement. And I think what I'm trying to help is avoiding that and supporting the work that the staff does so that it's as much as we can done on the basis of developing a position in the community and then taking that position forward. Obviously, we all know no plan survives contact, etc. And when you get into a community like the ISTAR community and develop then a joint statement, things will move on further. But at the moment, we can't point to the ICANN process for developing the ICANN position at the ISTAR negotiation or at the WSIS. So what I'm suggesting is that this process should be able to do that. So a little bit of backfilling, telling us what the negotiations with the ISTAR community is very helpful, then we can make sure that that gets run through this process and everyone signs on to it. Now, if they don't, you should want to know about that now or as soon as possible so that either you can correct the misapprehension or you can change course. And what I'm trying to do is, what I think these sessions are trying to do is build a logical, consistent process with information and then development, and then everyone can get in behind the decisions as they come out. Thanks.
Thanks for this, Peter. It's Olivier speaking, and I realize we are 8 minutes past the top of the hour. Just looking at the chat, I note that there is support for starting the whole process face-to-face. Peter, do you sense that you wanted to start the discussion then in the overall public session, and then should we just follow up at that point and say, for all those interested, please meet us in our face-to-face session, the working group face-to-face session, to start the ball rolling? Would that be the idea forward?
Yes, Peter, here, that would work.
Okay, sounds good. Marilyn, any thoughts on this? I know that you're very much involved with this process. I'm not hearing Marilyn. You might be muted. Anyone else? I see Lynn Fentimore has typed in the chat. That works for her. Right. I think we're starting to see the sessions take shape. So, Peter, if I could ask you to then follow up with Bill Drake on the public forum part. Next week we'll be able to build a little bit more than to have firmer agendas on the discussion and the flow of the discussion. But I think we have a much better sense now of how the public forum will do, and then afterwards or the public session will go and actually really make good use of our face-to-face session to get that ball rolling. And that actually also gives us the whole summer to relate back to our SOs and ACs and get the feedback that we need to get from the SOs and ACs to see what they are comfortable with. Obviously, this working group can do nothing without the SOs and ACs being comfortable with it. And as you know, there are many different points of view being held out there. So we need to try and work on this as much as we can. Summer, yes. Oh, sorry. So June, July, August. For those of us in the Antipodes, that's a different story, not summer. Okay, I see no one else putting their hand up on this. Quickly, any other business? And we had the question or the... discussion on the deliberative polling proposal at IGF 2015 and whether ICANN is in any way engaged including funding or promoting that proposal. Marilyn, did you wish to just expand on this, a couple of words?
I'll say briefly what this is. There's a proposal from Stanford University to do a deliberative poll on internet governance. It was a surprise to MAG members to learn about it. I'm happy to share more thoughts with others about this process. But my primary interest in raising it here is to understand ICANN's relationship to it. There's some significant concern about it among some of the MAG members that will be brought up in the MAG. I don't mean to bore this group with that, but I'm interested in ICANN's relationship to it.
Thanks for this, Marilyn.
Particularly because the budget is $709,000.
Okay, thanks for this, Marilyn. I don't know whether we have anyone on the call who knows about this. I guess Nigel Hickson, do you know anything about this?
Olivier, this is Nigel. Well, I didn't a couple of hours ago, but I knew something about it, but I didn't know the detail. Yes, I kind of been approached. We get approached on a number of projects, and the Stanford project is known about, and we have been approached, or the public responsibility team in ICANN have been approached for funding, but no, or for, you know, not obviously funding the project, but for supporting it in some way. But no decisions have been made at all. So there's no ICANN involvement at the moment in that project. And obviously Marilyn, so it's been discussed in MAG and whatever, but no funding as yet.
Nigel, that's really helpful, but I noticed that actually a member of the advisory group is noted as a member of the board of ICANN's board of directors.
Sorry, a member of the advisory group of SANS of the project is a director, you mean?
And is actually, you know, Wolfgang Kleinwatcher is a member of ICANN's board of directors, and using that title as a member of the ICANN group, which is why I asked what ICANN's office was.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not. Yes. I mean, I've got here. I think Wolfgang is in. Wolfgang Kleinwatcher is involved. I think Janice Carkins is involved as well. From what I was being told earlier, that, you know, as I say, I mean, there is no funding from ICANN. I mean, individuals can serve on boards of other organisations, of course.
Okay, I sense that this is all pretty new. It's Olivier speaking. Perhaps in the interest of time, we could punt this over to our next call, whether there's any follow-up on this. And obviously, so far we've been told so no funding for this, and we can certainly discuss it on the list, but we can have this as another AOB in the next call, and perhaps we'll have a bit more information at the time. And perhaps Nigel will be a bit more prepared and have a bit more information by then. It would certainly help in the interest of transparency to know what is going on there and any feedback on this. I realize we are 15 minutes past the top of the hour, and I apologize for yet again finishing late, but I sense we've made some good progress, and I thank all of you to have been on this call. And look forward to speaking next week and following up on this. We have certainly some work on our plate, and Peter, hopefully you can hook up with Bill Drake on the public session, and then next week we can focus perhaps a little bit more on the agendas. And with this, thanks to all of you. This call is now adjourned. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Thank you.